Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Steve Mortensen with the Independent Water Providers.
Yeah, my name is Steve Mortensen, local farmer rancher here all my life, president of the Independent Water Providers. That was an organization that was founded six years ago when state decided to get into the business of competing with private industry for selling industrial water here in Williston, North Dakota, or in the northwest area of the Bakken, I guess. And I'm just going to kind of go slowly here and kind of tell you how I got involved, why I got involved, and where I'm at today, I guess. And it started, like I said, 6 years ago. There was a need for a water project out here in northwest North Dakota, and potable water to serve the growth that was going on with the industry. And there was a lot of local people providing the oil industry with the industrial water they needed now. It was coming from irrigation systems. Some of the local people had applied for industrial conditional permits from the State Water Commission, who I'll say, you know, has been fairly, very good to work with in our favor of helping us achieve those. And we basically were serving all the industry's needs here. And there was even the local communities of Williston, Watford, Tioga, Ray, Stanley. They had their local water depots. And us as locals at that time, we did not oppose that at all. I mean, that was a great source of revenue for these cities that were growing. And we felt that, you know, that should stay with them. Well, anyway, there was a group out of Watford City, I believe, is where this all started, and I believe it was driven by an engineering firm, AE2S, that thought, well, we want to build a big water system out here, and we're going to pay for it with selling water to the oil industry. And that thing was just hush-hush for when it first came on board. In fact, it was myself and another local provider here, Mike Ames, we went to the city commission in Williston here and questioned what they were doing with this. And that was the first time that this project had even been made public to the citizens that didn't really know anything about it. I mean, they knew that we needed water and, you know, there was something in the works to do that. But this group got together and went to the legislation 6 years ago and basically requested $150 million to go ahead and put in this potable water, to put in a certain number of depots and to go ahead and sell industrial water along with bringing potable water to the area. And our group, I mean, we never opposed the potable water. We felt it was needed. And it was like any other water project in the state that we felt that it would be paid through through grants and through bonds or through loans through North Dakota for selling municipal and domestic water. Well, they came out here and they just have drove the price of this project to $450 million. The engineering firm has received $42 million of that. Right now, they owe $264 million. They have received $100 million in grants, and this project has, like, on my 50% of my business, it wasn't, if they would have built to the areas that the independents weren't in or where the independents were already providing that service, we maybe could have got along. But this thing became so contentious. In the second session, Watford City threatened the use of 1926B, which is a federal law that states that if you have federal loans, that you can go ahead and shut down competition that is competing with you for paying those loans back. And it was always frustrating because we weren't even supplying the same type of water. We were providing fresh water, which is non-potable water, that cannot be drank. It can only be used for industrial commercials or industrial uses, irrigation, or watering livestock. But Watford City brought this to the legislation that they were going to go ahead and threaten us with 1926B. At the same time, they also sent letters to the Corps of Engineers requesting that no more intakes be let out of Lake Sakakawea so that the WAS project could provide more water. Well, the legislation knew that that was bad policy. And it was passed down there that they would not interfere, or that they would not be able to interfere with 1926B on any water that the private sector was going to supply to the oil companies for industrial use. And in exchange for that, the state came in and took all the debt away from the Western Area Water Supply. And they were pretty frustrated with that because they thought they were going to have a hold on this whole market. They thought that we were going to have to pay them for the use of this water. And so the state took all that under accord, but not only did they take the loan amounts that the Western Area Water Supply had at that time, they also took all the debts from these previous cities. And I guess in accordance with the original plan of the Western Area Water Supply, they were supposed to pay back a certain amount of industrial sales to the five or six cities that are included in the WAS, in the Western Area Water Supply. Well, as the oil turned down, they went ahead and eliminated that. So now these small towns that once had an industrial revenue that we didn't oppose when it was in their local area, they've got nothing now. And they've had to raise their means of providing other revenue sources because they were supposed to receive so much money from the Western Area Water Supply. Also, the Western Area Water Supply has went out and they have, in the House Bill 1020 that they're working through conference right now, they're asking that they can reduce their rate so they can compete more with us. And they did this last year, and this is a direct effect of competition from the state if they're allowed to lower their rate. Their business plan was done at 84 cents a barrel, and it was determined, they said, in the second session there'd be plenty of water for everyone to sell. Well, when the market dropped out of it, there wasn't plenty of water for everyone to sell. And now they want to come in and compete with us at a lower rate, take our profit margin that we had away, go ahead and raise domestic and municipal rates to, like, the cities of Stanley, Tioga, and Ray. And just basically, I mean, they're giving the oil companies the break, but they, right now, I mean, are in a bind for what they've come out and did. This project was built without any oversight, and it was really frustrating to see the state continue to throw money at it, to see the state go ahead and support the competition with private industry. I mean, we could have supplied this whole industry. And we never got the chance because the state felt that they needed to come in and garner some of that revenue.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned no oversight. Where's the Water Commission on all this? I've heard conflicting stories that the Water Commission got kicked off the board of directors at WAS to that they asked to be removed from the board of directors at WAS. But at the end of the day, I was told that the Water Commission really doesn't oversee WAS because they are now a political subdivision. Do you know much about this?
Well, I know when the original project, there was one person from the State Water Commission that was on the board of the WAS, and she was basically supposed to be policing it. You know, and a prime example was north of Williston here, the WAS has a 13-mile depot, and there's already plenty of private depots in that area.
To listen to the full-length interview with Steve Mortensen with the Independent Water Providers, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
The lines keep coming where the lanes divide it. You and the road in the middle of the night. It's
the music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
The strength you got left is gonna be enough.
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4000. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.